You're listening to an audio sermon from Hope Bible Church in Oakville, Ontario. For more information, please visit our website at hopeoakville.ca.
We're going to be in, as you heard very clearly today, we're going to be in group time today. Excited for that. Let's start with this then. Out of the 114 times the word church is used in the New Testament, 90 of them refer to specific local gatherings of Christ followers who came together, this is important, for fellowship and mission. So the word church used 114 times, 90 of them refer to local gatherings of believers gathering together for fellowship. We'll dive into that more today. And mission, very important, being on mission for Christ. So what's so abundantly clear in the New Testament is this, one of our, again, bottom lines for today. If you're going to genuinely follow Christ, okay? I mean, this is for some right now, right off the bat. If you're going to genuinely follow Christ, listen, you must connect to his church. There aren't exceptions to this in the Bible. Like, if you're going to genuinely pursue Christ, then you love his church and you want to connect to his church. The local church is designed by God. It's important we understand this too, right? Like, the church didn't come up with the efforts of humanity. The church was birthed by the Holy Spirit, created by the Holy Spirit for the glory of Jesus Christ. It is designed by God himself for what? For community, for fellowship, for maturity in Christ, we'll hear today, and for mission for Christ as well. I say that again. The church has been designed by God for the purposes of our growth and our accountability and community and fellowship and mission for Christ. So one of the best ways then that we connect to the church, not the only way, of course, but one of the best ways we connect to the church is to be a part of a group in the church. One of the things we hear today too, we have to make sure we understand in today's message, Sundays are not enough. Sundays are wonderful, awesome. This is so important. Gather time is massive, but it's not enough because there are six other days in the week. And we must be supported and encouraged and encouraging others as we go along as well. So God time, incredible. Gather time, incredible. And group time is also, though, to be incredible. Our thesis for today, our propositional statement today is this. Group time, then, is essential for fellowship, for care for one another, for accountability and maturity. I'll say it again. Group time is essential for my fellowship, for my care, for accountability and maturity in Christ. We've shown this slide each week. Let's just show it again. Again, some of us just be reminded each time. So we've done God time and gather time, two encouraging weeks. And today we're focusing on group time. And that is pursuing growth and accountability within a community of believers who love the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, essential for all of us, as we're going to see for various reasons today as well. So Bibles are open to Acts chapter 2. This is going to be our primary text, but we're also going to move to one other text, and we'll see another text on top of that as well. But let's just start here, Acts 2, verse 42. The first thing I want you to notice, though, as we come into this passage, is notice the context of verse 42. And for context, we look at verse 41. Look at verse 41. So this is obviously speaking of the early church and the beginning of the church. Peter's first sermon ever in the church. It says, so those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Wow, that is pretty exciting. So this church, notice, went from a strong core group of 120, again, meeting for prayer, and they literally exploded in a moment into a mega church, right? Like, this is what happened in the early church. You're reading the same Bible I am. This is what occurred. Again, by the will of God, God saved 3,000 souls. You have to imagine those souls, some of them had some kids. And so here we are, and we see thousands of people, again, going into the church of Jesus Christ in a moment. And obviously, as Hope Oakville, we relate to certain settings of this as well, in terms of numbers and in terms of size. It's interesting that some people really struggle with larger churches. Well, let's just make sure you would have struggled with the early church as well, right? You would have struggled with the first church, certainly, because this is where they were. But I want you to see here, too, within this text, inherent within the early church, no one is bemoaning the size. No one's sitting in the corner complaining, we used to be this size, now we're this size, well, everything's changed. No, because revival is breaking out, and now the concern is not how big. The concern, though, is like, hey, in this explosion of fruitfulness and growth, how do we follow Christ together? How does the quality remain as the quantity begins to grow? This is where we find ourselves, again, as a church as well. This is where we are. This is who we are at this point, again, in our own context. By the way, many of you are early or new to this church. And the story of Hope Oakville, we started like four or five couples, and we just had a passion and a dream to preach the word of God and to pray in dependence and to exalt Jesus Christ and to share the good news of Jesus Christ with boldness. We didn't have any idea what was coming. We wanted to see lives change for his glory. We started like 8 or 10 of us, and we met for our first Bible study in a little Oakville office building. 18 people gathered for that, and then all of a sudden our core group ended up being around 60 or 70. Then we connected with Calvary Baptist Church, and they gave us their church building and people. All of a sudden, we're 200 people, and we're just following Christ. We didn't know what was going to happen, but we're following Christ. And one service went to two services, and three services, and then four services, and then we were running out of room everywhere in the old building, and cars parked in the lawn. We're using Blicklock High School for parking there too. It was crazy. We'd overflow within that church as well in the four services, and if I wasn't younger, I would have died for sure. And all that's going on there, and then you say, well, why didn't you plant churches? We did plant churches. We sent out hundreds of people, again, in four different churches in the specific areas as the years went by, in Brampton and Niagara and Toronto West and Brantford, and we continued to plant churches. And that didn't work. Every time we sent 100 people out, 200 more people came. I mean, this is just what the Lord did. And so then we were, God's grace found this place, and it was a miracle to be here. And then you start here, and all of a sudden, bam, all these people start coming. You said you should have planted more. We did plant more churches, and we are planting churches right now. We're planting churches, amen. We're trying to do that. And I just say all that to let you know, like, we didn't set out to say, let's be this numbering as big as we can. No, we did set out to say, we're going to honor Jesus Christ, we're going to preach the word, we're going to pray our faces off, we're going to try to get as humble as we can before him, and whatever he does, he does. But here we are. So it's easy for people to drive by or the church, that, you know, a statement of judgment or some kind of posture, well, look at the Hope Oakfield. No, okay? Say what you want, think what you want. We're trying to honor Christ and serve him, and this is where we are. Praise the Lord, we're thankful for that. And so here we are again today. We have some good problems. God help us, give us wisdom. I'm talking very fast. Yes. And none of that was in my notes, by the way. But I think it's really, really important. Really, really important for us to have some context of where we are. And again, we're thinking to say, God, you just got to help us, and you got to lead us, and you got to be in the center of all that we're seeking to do. And so notice in this text here as well, we see there's a supernatural gather time that leads to a supernatural group time as well. So look at verse 46. Again, just some context. And day by day, they were attending in the temple. You could call that gather time. And then they were together and breaking bread in their homes, and they received food with glad and generous hearts. You could call that, again, group time. And it's just neat to be able to see that there. We need both. Now, for the rest of this message, let's unpack, why is group time so valuable? Why is group time so essential within each of our lives? We have four reasons we're going to see from this text and from others as well. Number one, group time is so valuable because it provides the opportunity for true fellowship. It provides the opportunity for true fellowship. So look at verse 42 now, Acts 2:42. Notice, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Okay, so we learn a number of things from the early church here. Notice, first of all, there's a devotion to the Lord. Now, that's very, very important because watch this too. So much theology in the series, and obviously when you're ever in God's Word, but I love pointing out theology because it's so important for the foundation of application to our lives to say, what theology? Well, watch this. Where there's a true devotion to the Lord, there must be a devotion to his church. Like, you don't separate those two things. In this context, when there's a devotion to the Lord, there's a devotion to the church that was birthed in this passage, and that devotion looks like a devotion to one another. So this is sound doctrine and sound theology. What is? When you're saved into Christ, listen carefully. When you are born again and you're adopted into the family of God and you're genuinely saved in Jesus Christ, you are also at that precise moment, you are saved into his church. You automatically, no exceptions, you are, again, baptized by the Holy Spirit, and you are a part of the body of Christ. Every single person who's saved in Christ is saved into, enters into the universal church of Jesus Christ, and then is commanded to be belong to a local body of Christ, an expression, again, of the kingdom of God. You cannot separate Christ from his church. You love him, you love the church. We heard that last week, we hear it again. You love him, you love his church. The word devoted here describes a single, listen, a single-minded fidelity. A devotion here in the original is a persevering passion. Now, why is that so important? Well, it's not a passion that comes and goes in a day. It's a passion that perseveres for the things that matter most. This is what the early church had. Notice what they were passionate about, again, ongoing basis. Their devotion was, notice, to the truth, the apostles' teaching, to the Lord's Supper, the breaking of bread, again, scholars believe that is, again, sharing of food, but also the breaking of bread and the Lord's Supper, a devotion to prayer. Now, all of those are incredibly powerful and beautiful. I mean, so essential for the church. Truth, the breaking of bread, Lord's Supper, and prayer. By the way, when it comes to prayer, if you missed this week's prayer meeting, you missed out, okay? Just saying. If you were there, you were blessed. Pastor George led a prayer summit yesterday from 9 to 4. That's just so awesome and so wonderful. That was such a blessed time, I hear, as well, and so thankful for that. And just the things we never, ever want to leave, they're so, so important. The dependence on God's truth and the Lord's Supper and prayer. But notice also within verse 42, and they had a devotion to called the fellowship. I want to double click on this right now for a few moments, the fellowship. The word fellowship is the word familiarly known as koinonia. Many of us will know the Greek word koinonia. But as many have said also, this is more than just coffee and donuts, okay? Fellowship is far, man, give me a break. It's so much more than coffee and donuts. I have been a pastor at a church where we had a fellowship hall in the past. Maybe you did too. Fellowship halls are great, but they are more than coffee and donuts and a fellowship hall. It's amazing over time, though, the fellowship hall was kind of synonymous with eating food together, which is a part of fellowship, yes, but fellowship is so much more than that, biblically speaking. What is the biblical teaching on the word koinonia? It's this in a sentence. It is the sharing of the deepest possible level of human relationships. Koinonia is the sharing of the deepest possible level of human relationships. Let me explain this further. Think of the sound theology of what we share in Christ. If we are saved and born again into Jesus Christ, think of what we share. We share a love for Jesus Christ. I mean, that in itself is awesome and beautiful. We share an adoption into God's family. Every believer in Christ, again, has been baptized by the Holy Spirit. We are indwelt by the third person of the Trinity, who leads us. The Holy Spirit is leading us supernaturally in the same direction for Jesus Christ, the advancing of the kingdom, and the anticipation of Christ's return. That's just a small, again, description of how much we share in Christ. But there's more. All Christ followers share in the same sufferings. We resonate and relate to each other in our sufferings for Christ. We share in the same hope of everlasting life. I mean, how do you overstate that? Followers of Christ share in the advancing and the mission of the kingdom of God. And as we said, we also share that one day soon Christ will return to gather us individually and together corporately as his church to see him face to face. I mean, try sharing those things with an unbeliever. Good luck. It's impossible. The depth of relationship between two believers in Christ is literally eternally more than people who do not know Jesus Christ because of the power of the gospel. This is the depth of relationship that only Jesus Christ can bring about. Again, I remember, man, like, so a lot of you know my story. I was saved at 22, and I had lived my life for myself all these years. And when I got saved in Jesus Christ, and I started to awaken to the depth of relationship in the gospel with brothers and sisters rooted together in Christ, I was blown away. I also was like, I was so astounded how superficial my life was previously. Like the things I lived for, the things we talked about, the temporal, whatever. Just, I mean, you look back and you're like, man, like there's nothing to that. Like some of it was fun and okay, but at the end of the day, it was nothing. Now your eyes are open to eternity. Your eyes are open to salvation in Christ. Your eyes are open to the church of Jesus Christ. Your eyes are open to adopted God's family. Your eyes are open to brothers and sisters supernaturally in Christ. And you begin to talk and experience life and love each other and share and have tears of joy and empathy and compassion in ways I did not know possible. That's what Jesus Christ brings. We are all designed for that. And group time, not the only way this happens, but group time fosters more and more such relationships. And gather time's amazing, right here? This is amazing, but this can only go so far on 90 minutes on a Sunday. We need more than that. And this is what the Lord knows. And so we need fellowship, again, of the Holy Spirit of God. We must be known, and we must know others. Again, hear me today. We need a touch point beyond Sundays. Sundays are wonderful. We need more. That's not enough. It'll never be enough to come sit and whatever and receive, even be super encouraged. We need something else. Fellowship is everything. J.F. Packer said this on fellowship on the screen. Love this quote. He said, "We should not think of our fellowship with other Christians as a spiritual luxury, an optional addition to the exercises of private devotions. Fellowship is one of the great words of the New Testament." Love that. "It denotes something that is vital to a Christian's spiritual health and central to the church's true life. The church," this is key, "the church will flourish and Christians will be strong only when there is fellowship biblically defined." What I love about this too, like in this church, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people and testimonies that you are living out this kind of fellowship. I mean, the level of relationship among hundreds and hundreds of people, the way brothers and sisters relate to each other, the depth of relationship, the joy that is there, the suffering together, the rejoicing together, the shedding tears of joy and again of grief together, the care that goes on. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of you have found eternal brothers and sisters in this church community. That is so beautiful. I mean, even if you just take a moment and just consider the depth of relationships, and I pray you're able to do this quite easily with brothers and sisters in your life. Some of you are sitting beside each other right now. Some of you are sitting very close to each other right now. I just have a few individuals in my mind who are in this service right now, who I cannot tell you how much I care for them, love them, depend on them, and thank God for them. I would not know them apart from Jesus Christ, at least that's what it seems. But the way they've impacted my life, the way that they care for me, the way that we're together, and it makes me get emotional, you know, to think of what Jesus Christ has done in that regard. This is what Jesus does. We need each other. Like, you cannot do this alone. We are designed to love each other in this way, that we might experience true fellowship. Again, hey, with everything else, man, there's never going to be a situation that it's all roses all the time. Make sure we always know that, right? Because we are sinful, then we will see, again, difficult times at times, but the perseverance with each other for this makes it even better. And that's what the Lord points us to as well. Group time is a wonderful context for such fellowship. Secondly, group time provides what? It provides the design for mutual care and ministry. For mutual care and ministry. If you want to be cared for, you must be known. You must be known. And a group is not the only way. Again, I keep saying that because it's true. But it's one of the best ways we find mutual, genuine care for one another. A smaller setting to have people know where we're at, how we're doing, to be cared in this way. Now, Acts 2 does provide a strong, again, example of unity and care and ministry. I just want to go a little deeper here. I'm going to ask you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So if you're in the book of Acts, turn right and you go to Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, and you can find yourself at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I would be so encouraged if you would join me there. Listen, pages of the Bible are turning, praise the Lord. What a great sound. What a great sound. Can't hear that on a phone, can you? Just kidding, kind of. Yeah, here we go. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 20. Take a look at verse 20. So what Paul is doing now, led by the Holy Spirit, he unpacks this incredible theology of how we need each other. There are no isolated individuals in the body of Christ. That's not how it's designed. So look at verse 20. As it is, there are many parts, individuals, but one body. Again, we are born into the church, the family of God. We are part of the body of Christ. He explains now, verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. I want you to see this too. Notice there's tremendous diversity in the body of Christ, but there's unity because we need one another. The diversity in this room right now is extraordinarily beautiful. But we need each other, and that's the unity that comes. We look and depend on one another. That's what, again, Paul is saying. So you never say to someone else, I don't need you, and that person never says to us, I don't need you. Verse 22, on the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. Let's just stop there for a second. What is Paul saying? Listen, he's saying this. Every single part of the body is valued. Every single part. Hey, you're here right now, Overflow here, Orangeville. You're saved in Jesus Christ. Hear this from the Holy Spirit. You are valued. You are precious to the Lord. You have a gift that God has given to you and designed for you to use as an encouragement to his church. You need to hear this. There's not a single person listening right now who's genuinely saved that isn't precious in the sight of God and valued as a member of his church. You need to receive this personally. You're here right now. You're not actively serving in the church. You're not connected to the church. God's not okay with that because you have a part to play. You're like, well, I feel so insignificant. I feel so small. That's exactly for you then. Not just the people up front. Every single person saved in Christ is there by God, his sovereignty for his glory, to be used, again, as a contributor to the glory of Christ in the church of Jesus Christ. Receive that right now. Receive that right now. In your face, Satan, as he tries to convince us we're nothing and we're not to be used and we have nothing to give. It's not true at all. You are incredibly valuable to the Lord, and he has purposely saved you and designed you to contribute again to the building of his church. You need to take that very, very seriously while you can. Our life is short. We are here to bear fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we continue on. He says, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. So these are the parts that are hidden that we cannot see. You could say internal organs or our private parts as well. Clothing covers them up. Verse 24, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it. Again, all are valued in the unity of Christ. Verse 25, that there may be no division in the body. But that the members, here we go, but the members may have the same care for one another. And then verse 26 is super helpful. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Right? So it's a beautiful text. And the bottom line is this. The body is designed to care for one another. There is no body part that can exist on its own. You've got to hear that today. That's one of the bottom lines for this whole message. So hear me, better yet, hear the Holy Spirit today. Ready? Hear the Holy Spirit. You cannot live. Actually, look up here for a second. This is so important. You cannot live for Christ on your own. Like every one of us has to admit that right now. It's impossible to truly live for Christ on your own. You are designed as a member of the church of Jesus Christ. You have been designed, again, to be part of his body. We need each other. That's the whole point right now of 1 Corinthians 12. Group time is a wonderful application of mutual care and ministry. Now, is our church big? Yes, it is. Relatively speaking, it is. But that doesn't have to limit genuine care. In some ways, there's more opportunity for genuine care. And by the way, too, you can feel just as lost in a small church as you can a big church. And one's not better than the other. They just are. And we seek to establish, again, the love of Christ in our midst as we all come together to play our part in this as well. This is the power of belonging to a group. What? We suffer together, rejoice together, we love together, we are known together. Now, let me say this too, okay? been in ministry long enough and in this church long enough to say, not all groups are perfect. That was a good spot for an amen. They are. Now, why is it true that not all groups are perfect? Here's why. Because you're in them. I'm in them. Right? And because we are sinful, we automatically enter into the group and it instantly becomes unperfect or imperfect, right? Because again, we are so, we gotta make sure, you say, well, my experience with the group in the past, but again, I'm not trying to admit, I've been part of groups too that were, you know, less than stellar maybe, right? But do I give up them altogether now? No. Do we quit altogether? Never trying again. That would be foolish. But let's just remember the fundamental reason my group is not perfect because, again, I'm the one in it. And I bring my imperfection into that setting. So let us give grace. Let us give grace to one another. And let us not give up on the call to care and to love and support one another in a context, again, other than a Sunday morning or a Sunday service. That is so key. We must, again, we are commanded to come alongside one another. Galatians 6:2 is another command for this. It says, bear one another's burdens. The command from the Lord. To bear one another's burdens. What a beautiful call. Notice, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? The law of Christ is the law of love. We are commanded, commissioned to fulfill the law of love through our lives. And one of the ways we do that is bearing one another's burdens. How do you bear one another's burdens if you are not into each other's lives? Can you do that here at this context of service? Well, in some part, yes. And there's a lot of that. I was caring for burdens after last service of some individuals that came up for prayer. It's beautiful. But to really see it happen and to see it consistently happen, I think it goes beyond gather time. There's a form or context of group time that provides a chance for us for the long term to be known and loved and cared for. And by the way, of course, those in this church has always been this way, but for those, we've seen a lot of growth over the years, but for those who are known and those who belong, they will give the best care and they will receive the best care. But you must be known and you must belong, and we're trying to help with that. Again, there's you know, some, it's not always easy, but it's so worth continuing to persevere in. So group time provides the opportunity for fellowship. It's designed for mutual care and ministry. Thirdly, super important, it provides the protection of accountability. It provides the protection of accountability. So I'm going to turn in my Bible to Hebrews chapter 3. The text will be on the screen for you as well, but if you want to turn there, by all means, please do. Hebrews chapter 3, this is such a great verse as well. I'm going to read it for us here. Look at what this passage is so important for right now, care and accountability with each other. Look what the author says here. Take care, brothers, of course, sisters as well, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. Wow. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that, listen to this, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. Man, what a passage. This is so important for us today. In fact, let's just mark up this text a little bit here on the screen. You can see it there. Oh, that was music to my ears, or at least that is a joy to my sight right there. I hope you mark up your Bible in some form like this, so he's not afraid to. Maybe not this busy, but that looks beautiful to me. Does it look beautiful to you? It looks beautiful to me anyways. I love that. The Bible is so alive and active. What do we learn from this passage in terms of group time, protection, accountability? First of all, notice this. All of us must be vigilant and watchful. Why? Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart. Why must we on a daily basis be vigilant and watchful? Because sin is crouching at your door. That's why. Genesis 4:7, God said to Cain, be careful, sin is crouching at your door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Every day we live, church, every day we live, sin is trying to ambush us behind the door to pounce on us, to ruin us. How does sin ruin us? Well, notice in the text here, Hebrews 3, The root of sin is fundamentally what? The root of sin is unbelief. Sin causes us to cease to believe in the truth of God, what God commanded. We, in our sin, we say we have found a better way than what God has prescribed and commanded. We are going our own way now. Notice the goal of sin in Hebrews 3. The goal of sin is always to create distance between us and God, ultimately to cause us to fall away from the Lord. That's what sin's desire is, to ruin our intimacy with Christ, to get greater separation. We don't hear his voice. We're not near his church. We fall away from the will of God. That's what sin wants to do. And by the way, too, like, make sure we're so aware of this, and it breaks my heart over the years. You see, you know, people in their desire for sin, you know, I guess if you look at it this way, if you are set on a path of sin, the last place you want to be is here. If you are determined to follow your love for sin, the last thing you want to do is hang with other believers who are going to tell you the opposite. What's broken my heart over the years is you have men and women who have intentionally, and this is what happens, they love their sin so much, they love their sin more than Jesus Christ. And that's what idolatry is, right? Is we start to love the desire for the pleasure of sin and self. And so we pursue that. And what we're proving right there is we love the feeling or pursuit of sin more than we love Jesus Christ. And so what they do is, because they don't want to have light shine in their darkness, they stop coming to church. They stop attending again groups. They stop interacting with fellow believers, because they know if light shines in the darkness, there's going to be conviction, there's going to be a call back, but they simply want to pursue the evil of their heart more than Jesus Christ. It's important for me to say that out loud, because that's what's happening. That is what's going on in our lives as we choose evil over good. This is why we need each other. Because look at what Hebrews 3 says, is that what is the antidote to such falling away? Well, the antidote is daily, active, mutual exhortation to one another. And notice that too. It doesn't say weekly there. There's daily, but exhort one another every day. We need brothers and sisters in our lives that can see what's happening, that we come again into contact with. And the brilliance of this exhortation here about exhortation is, this is when so often when we're with brothers and sisters in relationship in Christ, our pursuit of sin is so often nipped in the bud. Like the very seed of sin tries to be sown before it can even sprout out. We're brother, sister, and we're like, no, don't think that way, think this way. Or that quick phone call, or an arm around the shoulder. Hey, come over, let me pray for you. No. This is what Christ has for you. And just a simple encouragement stops Satan's design of trying to destroy that person altogether. We need each other, and we're often saved from so much disaster because we have people in our lives that constantly lead us back to Christ, and we are used in the same in other people's lives. That's God's design. A daily act of exhortation away from sin and towards the Lord Jesus Christ. See, this is how God has designed his body. Last thing I want you to notice in this text here, notice that the confirmation of genuine faith and salvation is what? Is people who persevere to the end. Right? We hold our confidence firm to the end. The text says, those are those who are saved. God has started, they will finish, they will endure to the end, they will be saved. But notice in God's design, I mean, God's sovereign over that, but in God's design, he uses his church, his body, that we encourage and strengthen each other that we might continue to persevere. That's awesome. There's no way I'm still here without brothers in Christ. There's no way I'm still here after 20 years without brothers in Christ. By God's design, there's no way, like, no way. And you'd be the same. We need each other. We need each other, and we need people in our lives to be able to love and care for us in this way. So just to summarize this powerful theology today, I love bottom lining things, making things so simple. That's so far we've learned. Listen, I cannot follow Christ in isolation. I can't do it. You're like, yeah, I'm going to try. Well, you will try till you're a failure. It will not work. It doesn't work for anyone ever. We are, again, the theology is I'm designed by God to be in community in Christ. Secondly, well, there you go. I'm designed for community. I cannot follow Christ in isolation. I'm designed for community. every single one of us saved in Christ is. And listen, I need accountability. I need to be that for others, and I need it in my life. I need brothers and sisters to be able to see into my heart. Again, under God's design, I need this. So the question is right now, do I have these things? Do I have them? I'm so glad you're here right now. I'm so glad you're attending Hope Oakville today, even if you're visiting. I'm so glad to hear these things. Like, we need this moment right now. But then we're hearing with such clarity what the Lord has for us, and now will we do? Now will we take action to pursue this? Will we desire to grow? Just a word of warning, Proverbs 18:1. I wanted to include this on the screen for you. Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. Verse has always meant a lot to me. The book of Proverbs is so filled with wisdom. So what happens again is you have an individual in their pride, in being obstinate, stubborn, and arrogant. They decide they know what's best, and they go in the direction that they've decided individually is right. Even to the point, seen this more than once, let's say you have 6 or 7 brothers gathering around another individual and pleading with him to say, you have 7 brothers in Christ filled with the Spirit of God and love for the individual and pleading, saying, this isn't the right path. This isn't going to be blessed. There's no way this is biblical. And love with grace, pleading. And in the end, the individual essentially says, I don't care. This is where I'm going. The Bible calls that individual a fool. He is an idiot because he is directly going against God's word and directly disregarding the love and exhortation of multiple brothers and sisters in Christ around them at that time. But the pride, the arrogance, the foolishness overrides the sent wisdom from God. We cannot isolate ourselves. We break out against all sound judgment. Groups provides a wonderful built-in accountability of love and care in this way. Group time, true fellowship, mutual care, protective accountability, and fourthly and finally, it provides the promise of maturity. The promise of maturity. So every passage we've looked at today really communicates that maturity occurs within community. Now, community by itself is not enough, right? Just community, that's a social club. And a social club will get us nowhere in Christ if that's all it is. You can only watch the game so many times with your boys or whatever it is, but nothing's happening for Christ if all you're doing is watching the game. There must be an insertion of truth, must be an insertion of prayer, must be an insertion, again, of pursuing Christ, must be an insertion of eternal topics. There must be care and love exercised in that. So community by itself isn't enough. However, maturity with the aspects of Christ in community brings tremendous growth. In Acts chapter 2, you had a devotion to the truth, a devotion to the Lord's Supper, a devotion to prayer, a devotion to fellowship. And from there, we see supernatural Holy Spirit working and explosive maturity and growth in all that were involved. It's beautiful. So Scripture clearly points to the promise of maturity when believers seek Jesus together. Maybe just as another way to look at this too, consider the maturity embedded within some of the one another's of the New Testament. There are 59 of them in the New Testament. Here's just a sample. But notice how all these put together. Look at the maturity embedded within. We care for one another. We love one another. We host each other to love each other. We receive one another. We honor one another. We serve one another. We instruct one another. We forgive one another. We motivate one another. We build up one another. We esteem. And all of this massive growth that occurs together in a community for Christ, spurring us on to be more like Jesus Christ. We comfort each other. We edify. We pray and confess our sin to one another. We encourage. We teach. We show kindness. Again, we give to one another. We rejoice. We restore one another. I mean, it's massive. Like, if you take all this away, good luck. But God's design is we are with each other in life, and we love each other in this way and support one another. We grow in Christ together. The church is designed that we would mature together in Christ. One of the best ways this happens is group time. Not the only way. I'll say that. It's not the only way. Many things that happen, again, in different contexts, but group time is in a powerful example of how we can experience fellowship, care, accountability, and maturity. One final quote I want to read here from R.C. Sproul. He said this on this importance of being together. He says, "It is both foolish and wicked to suppose that we will make much progress in sanctification, that means growing more like Christ, if we isolate ourselves from the visible church. Indeed, it is commonplace to hear people declare they don't need to unite with a church to be a Christian. They claim that their devotion is personal and private, not institutional or corporate." He says, "This is not the testimony of great saints of history. It's the confession of fools." It is the confession of fools because they are going directly against everything the Bible is teaching us today. So, we want to grow in Christ. We need each other. Again, I just want to be so clear and so simple. We need each other in one way or another. God help us to see that happen. So, you know, come to the end of this message right now, you might be asking, okay, well, where do we go from here? Or what does this look like? What does this look like in our church? Well, here's what groups look like in our church, and there's many different kinds. Very excited about them. Youth, men's, women's, 20. I mean, just brilliant examples of how you can be connected in one way or another to be known. Our seniors ministry, praise the Lord for our seniors ministry, caring for our dear saints in the church. Traditional kind of home groups, small groups, may think of that. This is one aspect of groups in our church. Very powerful, very beautiful, very, very important. D groups, man, I've been a part of those in the past too. Love, love, love D groups. Very simple, getting together men with men, women with women, like four or five maybe, going through a Bible reading plan, some Bible memory verses, very simple. But being together and like a year and a half, doing life and ministry and then expanding or multiplying that group. We also have soul care classes in here too with an asterisk because although it's not officially part of the group ministry, but soul care classes can be a great, great entry point for you here at Hope Oakville. Maybe there's an issue struggling with or something you want to, you know, practical theology, an awesome course Pastor Nathan runs, or Heart Resurgence are examples of incredible courses where you come and you are fed with great theology and teaching, but there's always an aspect of groups within that to be known and cared for, and so both can happen. So just a great thing. Maybe this is a wonderful entry point for you as you desire, again, to see Hope Oakville become your home as well. So again, this is the ministry fair outside today after the service. This will have, again, questions you can ask, and we want to be here to help you as well. After you take step one and two, if you haven't done that already, and we want to see people engaged in groups as well. I want to say too, hey, young people, if you want any chance to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, you got to be in fellowship with other believers. In a real way. Again, listen, if all your closest friends are just leading you further away from Jesus Christ, something to pray for, something to long for, something to not give up on, especially in our day, you know, the works of evil, the lies all around us, the difficulty of following the Lord, we have to seek out brothers and sisters who will encourage us in the Lord Jesus Christ, because we're all in that boat. And we're all in such need of that. Last thing, ministry fair is happening. I'll say this too. Listen, there are leaders in this room right now. When I say leaders, I'm specifically talking of members of our church who have led groups in the past. You've already been qualified in recent years. You've done this in the past, and you served well, and you took a break. I got tons of grace for that. But maybe now it's been a few years, and you've been out of the group ministry context for a while now. I want to challenge you to get back in. I want to challenge you, one of the best ways you can use your life is to pour into other believers and leading them to the light and truth found in Jesus Christ. Pastor Chris and I, just this week, we started again our leadership development group. We've done that several times before. Excited to do that. Group of men, our church, so, so thrilled with that. Second week will be coming up again this Tuesday. And we do that because it's one of the best uses of my time and Chris's time. One of the best uses is to be in a setting like that and to pour ourselves into others. You're a leader in this church. Listen, you're no different. What I'm learning, again, in a fresh way, is there's things that need to go in my life that this might be front and center. And right now, being in a group, in a context, and pouring into others, that is one of the highest priorities of my time. It has to be, because life is too short, man. Life is too short, and we need to see disciples made for the Lord Jesus Christ. I challenge the leaders here right now, is the Lord asking you to step back in for a season that you might be used to love and care and support, and yourself be loved and cared and supported as well. All right. Lord, help us in all of this. Amen, church. Lord, help us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the clarity of your word. Thank you for the challenge you bring today. But Lord, again, Father, I love the theology. I cannot do the Christian life alone. I can't. And no one else can either. So help us, Lord, to not run away from love. I pray we would run to love. Not expecting perfection, that is unfair. We are not perfect. But Lord, expecting people who love you and desire to be used to bless. So lead us now, again, such a critical time in our church. Lord, I pray you will give us such wisdom as a church. Help us, Lord, in this season of great multiplication to see as many people as possible, belonging and known here at Hope Oakville, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.